Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. We'll bow in prayer. Father, today again we are confronted with the Word open. We ask for the light to shine from heaven upon thy truth. Lord, we know our own weakness. We realize the arm of flesh is very insufficient for these things. We come to pray. The Holy Ghost will inspire us and direct us to hear the Word of God and let it be written on our minds and hearts. I pray today that any in our meeting who have never settled that account with God, do not know Jesus Christ. Today they're on the road to hell. Today they are lost. But today they can find and know peace that passes all understanding and the knowledge of thy Son. Lord, do that perfect work. We pray for help today, understanding hearts. Ask that each of us who know the Savior would also be spoken to from the Word of God, from the life and testimony of this man, Philip. Lord, hear our prayer this day. Help me to speak as thy messenger in the Word of God this day. For I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This chapter of Scripture we have open before us today deals with some very difficult events. There were some strange happenings in Israel at that time. Stephen, who was a very faithful man of God, the first martyr of the church, his blood had just been spilled. The Apostle Paul, who was breathing out threatenings, at this point he was Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threatenings against the Church of Christ. He was not content just to speak against them, but he took power and authority into his hand and went into the very homes of people, men and women, didn't matter. He hauled them out, put them in prison, and was trying to stamp out this cult, as he thought, of Christianity. Great persecution had broken out in all Jerusalem, and the church was caused to flee, except for the apostles. They were still remaining. And as they fled, they continued to carry the gospel with them, and they went throughout Judea and Samaria, and they went preaching the gospel. Philip took up the theme of New Testament preaching, and it was just this. He preached unto them Jesus. And he went into the area of Samaria, to the cities of Samaria, and he began teaching the people there of Christ. And something happened. A great awakening, a great move of the Holy Ghost occurred. And the Lord began to save sinners. And that is the greatest rebuke to the old devil and to apostates and to those who come to stand against the Word. It is simply people getting saved. Because when people come to Christ, their lives are transformed. Not just their lives, but when numbers in a small town get saved, the town is turned upside down. The town is changed. Places that knew evil and vice are closed down. There is an impact upon community when numbers are converted. We have prayed and continue to pray that God will do a work in this area of Malvern. Because if God moves in and saves sinners at the preaching of His Word, and His Spirit moves, there will be a change in our community. Crime will decrease. Drugs will decrease. Immorality will decrease as the Lord saves souls. Because as we are converted, we become the salt of the earth. And we are to move in our communities. And we are to be salt and light. Philip went about preaching in this area of Samaria, and God moved. Nothing could stop this move of God, not even Simon the sorcerer, who had for a long time bewitched the people. For a long time he had controlled by divination and by magic the people in that area of Samaria. But he could not stop this. And upon hearing in Jerusalem of the great move of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John were sent down to Samaria. In verse 14 it tells us, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. When they came down, they prayed for them they might receive the Holy Spirit." I was preaching to you a couple of weeks ago on having the right spirit. And we noticed how that James and John were annoyed that someone else was preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus and casting out devils. And they wanted to stop them from doing that. And the Lord told them, "Don't forbid them." And then Peter and John also, when Samaria had refused and rejected Christ because his mind was set to go to Jerusalem, they then called for the Lord for, should we ask, fire to come down from heaven and consume the city of Samaria because they had rejected Christ. They were standing for the honor of the Lord, they thought, but their motive was wrong and their spirit was wrong. But notice what is happening here. Now John is one of these ones. John is with Peter, and he has gone up now to Samaria, and they have heard of what has happened, and they rejoice, and they're preaching the word there. One time they pray for fire from heaven to fall upon them, but now it's the Holy Spirit that is descending upon these people. And there is a totally different spirit, because grace had worked a great transformation in the life of John. And he had also seen further into the real spirit of Christ. And the walls of prejudice that had been there for years and years and years between these Jews and the Samaritans were broken down by the power of the gospel. We also have to be careful that in our lives, in our minds, we do not allow old walls of prejudice to come up between us and stop us from witnessing to someone of the gospel and of the power and the grace of God. But to have the spirit that now John and Peter possessed, and they took that message there. Of course, Philip was a very good witness and testimony, because he was not concerned with these things whatsoever. He went there to begin with and was preaching in Samaria, and the Lord blessed his ministry. Now we come to verse 26, and it's really the substance of what we want to talk about today. And it has to do with the events around the eunuch's conversion. It has to do with how God moved in the life of Philip and how he moved in the life of this eunuch. And I want you to pay attention today. And if you don't know Christ, think of what was happening in this story. And I pray the Lord would open your heart and bring you to an understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. You know, the first thing that comes to us here when we consider Philip is that God works through dedicated and willing individuals. God works through dedicated and willing individuals. The instruction has come to Philip from the angel of the Lord in verse 26. And he spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." I wonder to myself, why did the Holy Spirit put that little word phrase in there, "which is desert"? It really wasn't necessary when you think about his obedience of going. And sometimes when we have something undesirable to tell someone, some instruction, We're prone to leave off the whole picture and the whole story, not wanting to discourage them. But you know what the Lord, he is showing us here something of the faithfulness of his servant Philip, even in that little phrase and including that part in there, "which is desert." Because you're going to a hard place. Philip, I'm calling you to do something that is not just the ordinary. God is working through a dedicated and a willing individual. Arise and go down to Gaza. Now, Philip could have argued with the Lord, but Lord, why are you sending me? I am doing a great work here in Samaria. The Holy Spirit is moving. There is revival happening, Lord, and I am needed here to continue this ministry in Samaria. He could have said, that is a long journey. Is there not someone else who'd be a little bit closer to this for this purpose and able to go? But we don't find that Philip does any of that. We admire and learn from his unquestioning obedience to the Word of God. For it tells us in verse 27, and he arose exactly after the word that came from the angel of God, and he arose. That little phrase is an interesting study in the Scripture. You remember the prodigal son when he was in a far-off land? It says, and he arose. That was the point of action. First of all, he had come to himself, then he arose. And here we find that Philip is acting and responding immediately to the direction of the Lord. And he got up and went. He arose immediately. This was no easy task. From Samaria down to Gaza was 130 to 140 miles of dusty, difficult road. It would appear that he went on foot. There's no mention of any animal. It would have taken him several days traveling to get from where he was to where he was going. It was a desert place. And you know, he did not know the destination of his journey. He went out obeying, but not certain of what the Lord was going to do and how he was going to show him. And friend, we can learn a great lesson there that the Lord, when he gives us instruction of something to do, he does not always tell us the end of the picture, but he tells us one step at a time. He opens the door for us just long enough for us to respond to the command and to begin. But we do not know necessarily the end of that journey. And Philip did not know where he was going. He did not know the specific purpose and the reason of his journey. In our human reasoning, the conditions that Philip had to face would certainly militate against us taking such a journey. And we bring up in our minds all kinds of excuses. But friends, notice in this story that the Lord was working through Philip because he was a dedicated man. He was a willing man for the will of God. Philip did not say, Lord, my time is too valuable. I can't waste my time doing this. I can't afford out of my busy schedule to divert to do something that seems to me so far out of my way and so far out of the purpose that I think you've called me to do. The Lord needs to rebuke us at times for our unwillingness to obey and for us thinking that we are so important and that our time is so valuable that we cannot be taken aside. Philip was a godly man. He was doing a godly and a good work. He was in the midst of the work of God. But the Lord was redirecting him. It may be there's someone here today and God has his hand upon you. Maybe he's redirecting your life. Are you listening to his word? Or are you making excuses that it's not the purpose of the Lord? It cannot be. My time, my life, my family, my house, my job, my everything. Philip didn't say that. But he was prepared to be open unto the hand of God. And you know, sometimes the Lord has got to take us out of the way in order to teach us things about ourselves. Things we have to learn about the Lord and about his word and about life. We must be willing for the will of God. You know, sometimes when we're not willing, well, the Lord will need to override our spirit. He will need to kind of give us a push in that direction to get us going. Some years ago, I was doing a delivery to a Catholic chapel. And I went in the side door, and I thought I would just step in the sanctuary, they would call it. And I looked in, and it was very ornate, very quiet and dark, as many Roman churches would be. And it was very beautiful architecture. And I was all alone, so I thought. And yet I heard someone weeping just over behind me. And I looked over, and there was a lady sitting in the pew just sobbing. And I thought to myself, well, I guess she must be upset about something. And so I turned and went on my way to go out. And as I did, I felt compelled. I thought, maybe I should go and speak to her. No, I shouldn't. It's not my business. And I started to walk out. And yet I turned, being compelled, and went and sat down just in front of her. And the Lord opened up a great door. And here we were sitting in the chapel, and I was able to speak to her about Christ and just tell her about the Lord and how He was able to help her in the midst of her trial. You know, sometimes the Lord has to give us those encouragements, taking us out of the way, out of the norm, in order to get us to do and to perform His own will. Friends, be sure that you are open to the leading of the Spirit of God in your life. God's ways are not our ways, but we can pray that His ways will be our ways. We can pray that our spirit will be submissive to His ways. There's another thing about Philip, and that was, he was in the will of God at that time. He was not out of God's will, and the Lord was redirecting him to His will. Philip was doing the purpose of God at that time when the Lord called him. Because the Lord often works through dedicated and willing and obedient individuals. Are you in the will of God today? Are you doing the purpose of God in your life? Do not be surprised as you are diligently and obediently endeavoring to follow the Lord that maybe He's going to steer your direction something different in order to fulfill His will. Be ready for it. Be willing for it. And let us not be so stubborn to say, well, here we are, we're doing what we have to do, and this is my life, and there's no changes going to happen. The Lord redirected this man, Philip. Those people who sit on the sidelines of service and do nothing for the Lord are not the people that generally God uses. The Lord uses His people who are in His will, doing and obediently following after Him. Have you ever been conscious that God is working through you? Do we not often moan and complain because our planned schedule has been caused some kind of inconvenience? Yet, may the Lord give to us the needed faith and discernment and obedience necessary to be alert and sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. And let us be pliable. Let us be supple so that we are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost and not hard and stiff and stubborn, that the Lord has to take out the whip and give us a snap in order to get our attention. Let us be open to the leading of the Spirit of God. So the Lord used this man Philip. He worked through him because he was a dedicated and a willing individual. Ask yourself that question. Lord, am I willing for the will of God? Am I dedicated to follow after Thy purpose in my life? Something else that comes to us from this story, and that is that God is concerned about individuals, people. Please notice verse 27 again. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. A man. One man. A single person. Do you mean to tell me, Lord, that you want me to disrupt my program and schedule and travel 130 miles, day's journey in the desert, to a desert land for one man? What does that tell us? Tells us that God is interested in individuals. And friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, God is interested in you, yourself, where you're sitting, personally. And He will sometimes move heaven and earth in order to get your attention and to bring you to the point where you are confronted with the Word of God and by the Lord's servant. Who was this man? He was a man of Ethiopia, a dignitary. He was one in charge of the wealth and riches of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He was the director of her finance. But he was a man directed by God. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was a religious man. He was a man through whom God had been working. He himself was being prepared by the Holy Spirit, because the Lord was interested in this one man of Ethiopia. And here he was, one man alone in the middle of the desert, and God was there. And the Lord had directed Philip to be there. And sometimes when people are confronted with what God has done in order to save them or in order to lead them, they become overawed by the love of God. When someone is confronted with the fact that, do you mean God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins? Why? Why would He do that? Because He is interested in people. And friend, today God is interested in you. He is interested in the details of your life. He is interested in bringing you to a knowledge of His own Son and of knowing that God loves you. Sometimes people from other religions who have viewed God in a very harsh way, when they are presented with the true gospel of Christ and they're presented with the fact that God loves sinners, they can't understand that. In fact, they're struck by that. And the Lord has used the preaching of the love of God to sinful men and to those who are involved in other religions, that they will be brought farther and closer toward the cross, where they view the greatest example of the love of God, which is seen in Jesus Christ. My friend, today the Lord is interested in you, and He has extended His love toward you in a way that goes beyond any explanation or definition, because in due time, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because He loved us so much, and because God loved us so much, He opened up that way. And if the Lord was to mark iniquities or to mark our sins, none of us would stand. But the Lord in His mercy has brought us. And yet some people would say, well, what about the enormity of my sin? I am a wicked sinner. I have done things that no one in this congregation this morning knows anything about. And yet the Lord knows. And He is prepared to give you the offer of His Son and the forgiveness of your sin, because God is interested in individuals. And He's prepared to bring you to the foot of the cross. He's prepared to say, my Son died for you that you might escape an everlasting hell. When you see and understand how much God hates sin and to what extent He went to in order to deliver you from it, you see the cross and you see the Savior, and He hangs there. And those nails which were struck through His hands and His feet and driven into that wooden cross, He made the nails that were used to crucify Him. He made the tree that was used to hold Him. And He went there, and He went there as a willing sacrifice, a willing offering for our sin, for your sin. And friend, as you stand today, as you look at the cross and you see the Son of God crucified for you, that shows you how much God loves you and how much He's interested in you as an individual. Something further we learn from this story, and that is that God leads to prepared hearts. This Ethiopian was a man whom God had been preparing and working on. Please notice verse 30. It says, "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" So here was this man. Notice the timing is exact here. He's been reading the prophet. He's reading Isaiah 53. Now there were no chapters in that day, but this was the portion he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he's coming right down to this portion as Philip is now running to meet the chariot. And at the time when Philip meets the chariot, the man is reading this, and Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" What a strange introduction. What a strange meeting these men have. But we're not told of any of the other conversation they had. But you know, this man was a Jewish proselyte, the Ethiopian. He had been at Jerusalem worshiping at the feast, and he was a bit unusual because normally a man of that state and position who had riches and have authority and had what he had would not be so interested in seeking for anything else he would have need of. Now, you know people who are business executives, those who are high up. If you've ever done any door knocking and you go to an affluent area and you knock on the door where it's evident that they have everything they need in this world, and to present them with the gospel message, they would spurn at it. It's below them or beneath them even to think that they have need of anything, because they are well equipped. And yet here was a man whom God had been working on, a man of great wealth, a man of influence, but God had been preparing his heart. He had been reading the scriptures, and he'd been brought to the place. And when Philip drew near to him, he was reading a 700-year-old prophecy from the time of Christ, that was, about the crucifixion of the Messiah. Look at verse 32. "The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch was reading this and he was puzzled. There's something in this. The Lord was speaking to his heart, but he couldn't get it. He didn't understand. Who was the prophet speaking about? Himself or someone else? And just at that moment, there was Philip. And look what it says in verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." This was the substance of the New Testament teaching and doctrine. Because when Philip went to Samaria to begin with, in verse 5 it says he preached Christ unto them. The others who went everywhere being scattered by persecution, they went and preached Christ. This is the substance of the New Testament gospel. And friends, this message has not changed to this day. It cannot change. If we will remain faithful unto God and His Word, the message of Christ and the substance of preaching Jesus Christ cannot change. Or else, we will not be faithful unto our God. This must be and is the core and substance, so that when Philip took the gospel, and remember that Philip did not have the New Testament, was not yet written. So Philip took the scriptures that the eunuch was reading. He went down and by verse after verse explained to him Christ. This is what the prophet was speaking about. The one who was going to come, the lamb that was led to the slaughter. And as he preached unto him Jesus, and he began to tell him all about the gospel, all about the cross, we're told the next question that the eunuch had was in verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so Philip, we know by that expression, explained the entire gospel message to him. And then also explained that it was needful, for once a person has come to Christ in faith, believing that Jesus has washed their sins away, then they are to follow and obey the Lord in baptism. And this is clearly taught from this scripture. He preached unto him Jesus. For that is the sum and substance of all the Bible. Friend, in the volume of the book it is written of Jesus Christ. From Genesis right through to Revelation. The message of God's love. The message of redemption. He hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. And what a message. It is simple. It is very clear. But it is satisfying. Because the man believed that day in Jesus Christ. And I love the simplicity in verse 37. This great testimony. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ is the Son of God. And that was his statement of faith. That was his testimony. And friend, if you're here today without Christ, and you in your heart believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then this can be your testimony as well. What would hinder you from coming? What would stop you from laying hold upon the same Savior that Philip knew and that this eunuch now trusted in? What stops you today from that? Your family? Embarrassment? Your friends? Your reputation, perhaps? Your vocation? Thinking that if you trust the Lord, you're going to have to give up something. Now, my friend, this eunuch is an example of a man who had everything and yet gained all the more as he had received Jesus Christ and then knew eternal life from that point on. There was much joy in this declaration of this New Testament convert. He believed in Jesus Christ and he rested there. Now some people have hypothesized that this eunuch returned back to Ethiopia and was the means of seeing a great move of God and the spread of the gospel through Ethiopia at that time. We can follow church history and we can see some evidence of that. How this man was used, we don't know. The scripture is silent. But we know very clearly he came to Christ. He was born again. And he would take that message of the gospel home to his own people and country and begin then to share that message that he had learned. Friend, what about you today? What holds you back from trusting the Lord? Today is a day when you can trust him and his arms are open. The gospel is still open today for you. And yes, we as believers, we look at the life of Philip and we can say, Lord, there's so much I need of the spirit of Philip. There's so much I need of this willingness, of this being prepared and openness to the gospel and to the Spirit's leading. Pray that God would so work in your own heart and life today. Let's bow in prayer. And as we bow in prayer, just before we do, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, perhaps the Spirit of God has been dealing with your heart today. We now have a service of communion. But you know, you can ask the Lord into your heart where you are right now. You don't need a minister. All you need to do is to call out upon the Lord and He will save you. I would encourage you to wait behind and one of our men will be very pleased to speak with you and to show you from the Word of God how you can know that your sins are forgiven. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Word of God will sink deep into our ears and hearts, and that some soul this day would trust in the Lord Jesus. Hear our prayers now and bless us as we come to the Lord's table, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.